The Blue Beetle. Creeping down upon the underworld to smash gangland comes the mysterious, all-powerful character who is a problem to the police, but a crusader for law. In reality, Dan Garrett, a rookie patrolman, loved by everyone, but suspected by none of being the Blue Beetle. As the Blue Beetle, he hides behind a strange mask and a suit of impenetrable blue chain armor, flexible as silk, but stronger than steel. Today's episode of the Blue Beetle is entitled Rounding Up the Payroll Bandit. The police department of York City, facing a general shakeup because of pressure from prosperous and influential businessmen who have suffered financial loss from a series of payroll robberies, has taken a vow not to rest until the last payroll bandit is behind bars. As our story opens, Patrolman Dan Garrett, who secretly operates as the Blue Beetle, is discussing the matter with his friend and confidant, Dr. Franz, the chemist.
Police commissioner has offered a week's leave of absence and a promotion. The man who rounds up these payroll bandits. Where are you going to spend your leave of absence, Danny? I wish the commissioner had as much faith in my ability as you have, Doc.
Oh, I think he has, Danny. You certainly emulate the Northwest Mounties. You always get your man.
Yes, but as the Blue Beetle, not as Patrolman Dan Garrett.
Too bad you couldn't run down a few criminals as Dan Garrett and get a promotion.
I'm not interested in promotion, Doc. I prefer to work secretly as the Blue Beetle.
I know. Well, that's your life ambition. You're old enough to know your own mind.
What's the morning paper say about the Wesson payroll robbery?
Well, just a moment. It's right here on the front page. Ah, yes, here it is. Wesson Company payroll robbery believed by police to be inside job. Police Commissioner Donnelly issued statement to the Perez as follows. After thorough investigation of several recent payroll robberies, we are convinced that in each case the job was engineered from inside.
I agree with the commissioner that it's an inside job, but I also believe there's a mastermind planning each robbery in advance.
The fact that each robbery has been so perfectly planned and executed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, someone out in front of the store. I'll see who it is.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Mr. Jarvis.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes, lovely, lovely.
The trees are so green and the flowers in the park so bright and colorful.
Well, I haven't been out in the park so far this spring.
You should go, Doctor. It would do you good to get out in the sun. This apothecary shop is rather dark, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is, rather. But I spend a lot of time in my laboratory.
Ah, yes. You're a very capable chemist, I've heard. Have developed some rather interesting and effective formulas.
Well, I'm constantly experimenting.
Yes, and so am I. You work with chemicals. I work with men.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Jarvis, how is the mission you founded working out?
Splendidly. The Reverend Morehouse is doing a remarkable job of rehabilitating the derelicts who wander in.
I understand you get jobs for them. Help them to get on their feet if they show any aptitude at all.
Yes, yes, I have helped some of them. That's what we're here for, to help one another. Well, I just dropped in for a bag of gumdrops. Always like to have some gumdrops in my pocket. The children, you know.
Yes, yes. Youngsters are fond of them, aren't they? How many?
Oh, about 10 cents worth, I'd say. A few at a time. They stay fresher that way.
Yes, yes, indeed. Here you are.
Oh, thank you. And here's your money. I'm sorry. I've taken up so much of your time. Goodbye, Doctor.
Good day, Mr. Jarvis.
That was Jarvis, the philanthropist, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Funny old codger.
Yes, but he's doing a wonderful job with the unfortunates he attracts to his East Side mission. He even goes out to the penitentiary and meets criminals when they are released. He finds jobs for them.
Hmm. Must have money and influence.
Yes, he apparently has.
Well, gotta get going. Mike Manigan's probably waiting for me at headquarters.
What are you going to do about these robberies, Danny?
I'm going to ask the commissioner for a special assignment to run down these payroll bandits.
So long, Doc.
Goodbye, Danny.
And good luck.
Good luck.
The meeting will come to order. Now, Benny, take a look outside and make sure nobody's listening to that door.
All clear here, Slick.
Okay. Now, listen closely, all of you, so I won't have to repeat the instructions. The armored truck bringing the payroll of the Apex Department Store is due at 12 noon sharp. Denny there will be one of the guards in it. You better beat it now, Benny. You go on duty at 9.
Okay, boy.
And remember, when you shoot into the side of the building. I don't want any of our boys hurt.
Sure thing, boy.
If anything delays you, call me. I'll be taking Apex employees out to lunch right next to the Logan ramp.
All right, boy.
Luigi.
Excuse me, boss.
You'll have your flower wagon at the curb near the Apex loading ramp.
That's the right, boss.
And be sure your Tommy gun is well hidden under the flower pot.
Yes, boss.
You know what to do when the time comes.
Sure, boss. Dead the man to make it a poor witness.
Right. Joe.
Yes?
You and Eddie will have the car with the motor running. Across the street, headed toward the river.
Right.
Oh, Tink. You and Blackie will be on the loading platform. As soon as the bags are dropped there, pick them up and make a dash for the car.
Yeah, okay, boss.
Sailor.
Yep.
You'll be ready with a speedboat to put a canal straight.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, that takes care of everybody but you, Rankin. Now, let's see. The liquor store where you work is around the block from the Apex Department Store.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, here's what you do. At 11:50, you'll be fussing around with some bottles in the show window. And at 11:55, make sure that one of the bottles slips and smashes the window. That'll set off the burglar alarm and attract the cops on the beat to that particular spot. You got it?
Right.
That'll leave the coast clear for us. Everything clear to you, boys?
Yeah, boys.
All right. Now, set your watches and get going. And remember, if anybody slips up, it's going to be just too bad for that guy. It's $100,000 in the Apex payroll. And B.J. wants that dough.
Do you see that armored truck ahead of us, Danny?
Yes, Mike.
Well, I'd like to own the money they're carrying.
Maybe the truck's empty.
No, they're carrying the Apex payroll.
Oh, how do you know?
Yeah, because Apex pays off today.
Perhaps we ought to follow it, just in case.
Yeah, that'd be a feather in our cap if we could capture the payroll bandits right in the act.
Yes, but I wouldn't get the man higher up. A mastermind of the racket.
And I don't believe there's any mastermind.
I do. These robberies are too well planned.
Well, just the same, I'd like to be in on the job when the law catches up with them.
And the truck's pulling into the Apex loading platform. Why don't you pull in here, Mike? I want to go in that cigar store and phone Charlie Storm at the Sun for some information.
Okay, you go phone. I'll cruise around the block and pick you up.
And what time is it, Mike?
It's 12:55.
I can probably catch him before he goes to lunch.
Okay, Danny. I'll be around in 5 minutes.
Son, give me Charlie Storm. Hello, Charlie. Now, this is Dan. Dan Garrett.
Yeah.
Say, what do you know about a philanthropist by the name of... Never mind, Charlie. I'll call you later. Goodbye.
Well, what happened?
Well, it looks like another payroll robbery. Apex Department Store.
I wonder where Manigan is.
Look, officer, that car. There's something now.
Yeah, that man clinging the running cord with the black bag. He's one of the bandits.
I'll take a shot at him.
Careful, I'll see you. Don't
hit the
bandit.
Look at that. Good shooting.
Yeah, he picked that man right off the running cord. Look, he's lying in the street there. Come on, listen.
Stand back, everybody. Give me your room. Got him through the lungs. Get some water, somebody.
Is there a doctor here?
Yes, I'm the doctor.
You got a stimulant there?
Yes. Here it is.
I'll give him some. It may revive him.
My girl.
do now?
Come on, take it easy, mister.
I'm through. I try to go straight, but B.J.
Who's B.J.?
B.J. Benjamin.
Well, he's gone, officer. This man is dead.
Who is B.J.? What is the last name of the arch criminal who rules this gang of underworld characters and whose first name is Benjamin? Can Dan Garrett pick up the trail? And as the Blue Beetle sweeps down upon these murderous bandits and bring them to justice? These questions will be answered in the next episode of the Blue Beetle. Is a copyrighted Fox feature appearing in Mystery Men Comics magazine and the Blue Beetle magazine. The Blue Beetle is on the air twice a week on this same station. Consult the broadcast schedule in your local newspaper. And don't forget to listen in to the Blue Beetle. Upon the underworld, a smash gangland comes
the mysterious, all-powerful character who is a problem to the police, but a crusader for law. In reality, Dan Garrett, a rookie patrolman, loved by everyone, but suspected by none of being the Blue Beetle. As the Blue Beetle, he hides behind a strange mask and a suit of impenetrable blue stain armor, flexible as silk, but stronger than steel.
Today's episode of The Blue Beetle is the second part of the story entitled Rounding Up the Payroll Bandits. Those of you who heard the first part of the story on a previous broadcast will remember that Patrolman Dan Garrett, who is secretly the Blue Beetle, was talking to Charlie Storm of the York City Sun on the telephone when his conversation was interrupted by some shots outside the cigar store from which he had been phoning. Rushing out of the store, he shot one of the payroll bandits. The bandit's dying words were, "I'm through. I tried to go straight, but D.J., and that was all, except his final gasp, D.J. is Benjamin," and then he expired. As our story opens today, Dan Garrett is in the little apothecary shop of his friend and confidant, Dr. Farnes, discussing the case with him.
What makes you so suspicious of Mr. Jarvis, the philanthropist, Danny?
His first name is Benjamin, isn't it?
Yes, yes, but that may only be a coincidence. After all, he's a respected man in the community. He established the East Side Mission for Down and Others.
I know. But I've got a hunch he doesn't do it from philanthropic motives. And his voice is too oily, too pleasant.
And you're probably more sensitive to such things than I am.
Perhaps.
Whoever planned that robbery certainly planned well. You were the only policeman on the job, weren't you?
Yes, and I'd have been with Madigan if I hadn't dropped in to phone Charlie Storm.
Now, how much did the robbers get away with?
About $50,000.
It was about that same amount in the bag you saved by shooting one of the robbers.
Yes.
Someone in the store. I'll see you.
It's Patrolman Dan Garrett here.
Yes, I'm Dan Garrett.
You shot my father, didn't you?
Your father?
He was one of the payroll bandits.
Oh, I see. You're Blackie Blackburn's daughter.
Yes, and you killed him.
But it was in line of duty. Your father
yes,
was...
Yes, I know. But I'm all alone now. You've got to protect me. I'm so scared. They'll do something to me.
Who'll do something to you?
The gang my father was in with. Slick Thomas and B.J.
B.J.? Who is B.J.?
Well, I'm not sure, but I believe that he...
Oh, what, you fainted, Doc? Yes, yes. Just a minute. I'll get something. Here. Now let me hold this ammonia salt under her nose. There.
What happened? Where am I?
You're all right. All right. You just fainted, that's all.
Yes. I guess it was the excitement and the fear of those men. They got my father into trouble. He was trying to go straight, but they wouldn't let him.
Suppose you try to keep calm and tell me all about it. You're safe here.
Well, when my father got out of the penitentiary, I went up to meet him. But there was someone else there, with a car. A man father called B.J.
Did you meet B.J.?
No, but I saw him.
What did this B.J. look like?
Oh, he was about 60, I'd say. Rather portly, iron gray hair.
Mark? That sounds very much like your philanthropist friend, Benjamin Jarvis.
But it proves nothing.
That's true, but there's enough smoke to make me think there's a fire somewhere. Look, Miss Blackburn, you run along home.
But I have no home now that my father...
Do you any folks, Miss Blackburn?
Call me Julie.
Well, Julie, where's your mother?
I don't know where my mother is. She left father years ago. You see, I really haven't anybody. Dr. Franz... Why couldn't I stay here and keep house for you?
I'm afraid that wouldn't work out. The proprieties and...
Oh, look out!
Okay,
I got the
men! Covering you too, Doc. We'd come for the girl.
You won't get the girl, but you'll get this.
You asked for a copper. That'll keep you quiet, copper. Shut up, kid, or I'll rot you on the beam too. Back up to the wall, Doc. I don't want to mess up your place, but we came for the girl and we're going to...
If you think you can get away with such high-handed business as this, you're mistaken.
Oh, yeah? Try and stop it. Hey, Penny, get up. Come on, get up. Let's scram with the dame.
What happened?
The copper spots you and I seen you as my guest. He's out like a light. Come on.
What do we do?
Take the girl and scram.
Let's take them all. B.J. will decide what to do with them.
Okay. You tie up the cop while I tie up the girl.
You take your hands off me or I'll save my life.
Release that girl.
Says who?
He's got something in his hand.
Yes, the chemical's so strong that if I hit you with this ampule, it will break. And the contents will burn you to a cinder in 10 seconds.
Ah, he's bluffing.
No, he ain't. Doc France knows his business, I heard.
Fast, gentlemen. Better drop those guns
or
I'll...
Hey, okay.
Now, gentlemen, back against the wall.
Yeah.
While I phone to Benjamin Jarvis and tell B.J. I have two of his rescued souls here in my apothecary shop.
Oh, no. Go, Doc. Hey, no. Turn us over to police, Doc, but don't tell B.J. Keep up with us.
That's just what I wanted to find out. Julie.
Yes, Dr. Frank.
Telephone the police department and tell them to send a patrol wagon over here for a pair of B.J.'s thugs. Honestly, Doc, I'm ashamed of myself. Me, a policeman, letting two thugs get the better of me while...
Don't worry, Danny boy. What's a little setback like that? You've proven your mettle many times, both as Dan Garrett and as the Blue Beetle.
Yes, I know, but... Oh, in front of Julie and...
I understand, Danny, I understand. But what are you going to do about B.J.?
The Blue Beetle is going to do a little flying and a little bluffing.
Where to?
The East Side Mission. We still haven't any proof that this B.J. and the philanthropist Benjamin Jarvis are the same individual. I have a hunch. When Benjamin Jarvis is confronted by the Blue Beetle, he'll let something slip that can be used as evidence.
But what about witnesses?
I'd like to borrow that portable sound recording device of yours.
Oh, I have a better suggestion.
What's that, Doc?
Call me on your portable wireless phone just before you make your appearance, and I'll record everything here.
Oh, that's a great idea. Well, the Blue Beetle's going to church, but he won't hear a sermon.
He may provide a text for one.
Yes, a true one. Be sure your sins will find you out. Yes, I started it the minute the phone rang. It's all connected up.
Good. I'm all ready. I'm leaving the switch open on my portable wireless telephone. You should get everything that happens from now on.
Go ahead, Danny, but be careful.
Don't worry, Doc. Here I go.
My son, we are honored tonight by having with us the great hearted soul who made this mission possible. A man who has fed you and clothed you. Man who has found you work when you were jobless. picked you up when you were fallen, helped you to regain your place in society. I'm sure you'll be glad to hear from your benefactor and friend, Benjamin Jarvis. Oh, but first, let us sing one verse of Hymn 27, Rescue the Perishing.
I'm sorry, Reverend Morehouse, to interrupt your services in this manner. But I'm sure you're unaware of this man's real purpose in supporting this mission.
What do you mean?
He's an imposter, a hypocrite.
Here, some of you men, grab this man and hold him by the arm.
Stay where you are, everybody. Benjamin Jarvis, alias BJ, your game is up. Benny and Eddie are in the custody of the police. They confess everything this afternoon.
Why, those dirty crooks, so they spill.
Yes, they spill the beans that you were about to say.
Well, they won't get away with it, and neither will you. I'll put down that gun, Mr. Sharp. Firearms have no place in it.
He shot himself. Jarvis has committed suicide.
And may the Lord have mercy on him.
About those other men that Jarvis placed in positions of trust throughout the city to help him in his nefarious schemes.
Well, Reverend Morehouse has their names. He'll talk with them and try to really put them on the right track again. He's confident he can make them go straight. You see, Jarvis threatened to send them back to jail if they didn't do what he wanted them to do. He'd have framed them.
Yes, he was a bad man. But he's gone now.
And his payroll racket is smashed.
Yes, thanks to you and the Blue Beetle.
The moral of this story is never play the hypocrite like Ben Jarvis, for if you do, you will be found out. And thanks to the Blue Beetle, the businessmen of the city have been freed from the menace of the hypocritical BJ and his payroll bandits. What new adventures await the Blue Beetle in his crusade against crime? This question will be answered in the next episode of the Blue Beetle. Copyrighted Pops feature appearing in Mystery Men Comics magazine and the Blue Beetle magazine. The Blue Beetle is on the air twice a week on this same station. Consult the broadcast schedule in your local newspaper. And don't forget to listen in to the Blue Beetle.